If you haven't heard, you can book your 60-minute Pick My Brain session today. It's a one-on-one, intimate discussion with me, your chief encourager, Ayana Angel, where you get access to a seasoned business professional, strategist, and idea expert who has helped countless people start businesses, podcasts, and successfully switch careers with a hybrid of consulting and coaching. Yes, I'm speaking in third person, but I am talking about me. You will get your one-on-one time with me to pick my brain, ask me questions about any of the areas within my four P's, which would be personal development, podcasting, book publishing, public relations, but also just if you're familiar with the show and you have an idea of what my skill set is and what I bring to the table, you will have an opportunity to ask questions, to get feedback on your ideas, to get insight on your ideas, to learn from some of my mistakes as well as some of my wins, how I've strategized to get to where I am now. You can ask any question that you want and we will go through and make sure that we're helping you get from where you are to where you want to be in this 60-minute one-on-one Pick My Brain session. Go to switchpivotorquit.com now and book your session. Hey girl, hey, and thanks for dropping in to the Switch, Pivot, or Quit podcast. Candid convo for the girl needing a lifestyle plot twist when she's deciding if it's time to switch, pivot, or quit. I'm Ayana Angel, a former sports entertainment publicist in New York City, turned traditionally published author with Simon & Schuster, who quit my old life to write a book, live in London for a bit, and explore my dreams to find my happiness and fulfillment. I'm here to help encourage and guide you through your plot twist years as your chief encourager and host of the Switch, Pivot, or Quit podcast. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes if you have enjoyed listening to this podcast so far. And check out switchpivotorquit.com for even more personal and professional development resources. But for now, just sit back, open your mind, and enjoy the show. On today's show, we are speaking with Dr. Akila Kadeh. Dr. Akila has spent more than 15 years in management and building successful projects, teams, and leaders in the public and private sectors. She's worked on federal, state, and privately funded multi-million dollar projects ranging from public health, healthcare, to education. She has spent an extensive part of her career designing, training, coaching executives, and informing systematic change to improve the workforce experience for large organizations like the San Francisco Department of Public Health. Dr. Kadeh is the recipient of the American Public Health Association's 2014 Health Administration Rising Star Award and holds a Bachelor of Science in Health Education and Community-Based Public Health, a Master of Public Health, and a Doctorate of Health Sciences in Leadership and Organizational Behavior. Welcome to the show, Dr. Akila. We are going to say Dr. Akila to get us started because I want to acknowledge the work and the sacrifice and just the prestige in getting your doctorate. So welcome to the show, Dr. Akila.
Thank you. So happy to be here.
Yay. Excited to talk with you. So let's just start off with you sharing a bit about your background and your own personal experience with Switch, Pivot, or Quit.
Definitely. So I am Dr. Akila Kadeh. I am someone who basically had the majority of my career in the public health space. So I'm a public health practitioner by trade, nonprofit health, healthcare, did it all. And I primarily worked in workforce development or grant administration, building programs from scratch, things that I really enjoy doing because I basically want to change the world every day with what I do. As my career went on, I decided to get my doctorate in health science, leadership, and organizational behavior. And that's when I became a huge nerd for organizations and companies and people and leaders and how they're built. Within my research, I looked at diversity leadership in health and healthcare. And I wanted to see what the barriers were for people of color and getting into those C-suite, real true leadership powerful positions that have a lot of influence and how care is provided to clients, the community, and patients. And by doing this nationwide survey, this tool that I collected, I learned that people of color felt like they are doing a million and one things. They're getting multiple degrees, certificates are on this committee, they're staying late, they're doing all this stuff and still getting overlooked. And white people were like, oh my God, we can't find them. We don't know where they are. And also we don't need them because we really only deal with like the whites. So we don't need them. I know, it was really interesting. And then there's also people of color like, hey, I was told to not rock the boat and I'm just going to get my pension or do whatever it is. I'm just going to retire. Right. So it was a really interesting dynamic, but I realized like, I don't know how I'm going to be a successful leader of color in the health space. So I started doing some more work and innovation and different companies. And that's when I started Change Cadet. I've had the company for 3.5 years, but it started as a side hustle, pet project, passion project, whatever you want to call it. And then about 1.5 years ago, I had a wonderful series of fortunate and unfortunate events that led for me to get into running this business full time. So Change Cadet is an organizational development consulting company. We do projects in support of diversity, inclusion, and equity. We focus primarily, specifically, only on underserved communities, women, and people of color, anywhere from strategic planning to executive coaching. So I like to call myself the Olivia Pope of diversity, inclusion, and equity in the workplace. So
I love that. That gives you some context. It helps people to understand what you're really saying to them.
Yeah. But not the last two seasons, though. I was not feeling Olivia in the last two seasons, but you know what I mean.
Right. We get the gist. Yes. And you've shared how stress from a previous point in your career caused like severe depression. Can you talk to us a bit more about what that looked like and felt like? And the reason why I want you to talk to us about that is because I feel like there's probably people who are dealing with some elements of depression because of their reality, but they haven't really identified it as that's what it is. And I think it also really takes a strong person, and I commend you, to make that a part of your story that you share, because not everyone would share that part of their story. So can you just talk to us a bit more about that and just what that sort of looked like?
Yeah, I always talk about self-care and also Beyonce. I just always find ways to bring in Beyonce as well. But I always talk about self-care because it's typically overlooked. If you think about our lives, we spend so much time at work, anywhere from 8 to 12 hours a day, depending on what we're doing. Some people 15, right? And so that really can affect who we are as individuals and what we're bringing to our personal life and our home life. So in my instance, I had a fabulous job. It was kind of a dream job. It's part of a health organization. And I started the same day as my boss, who's also a woman of color. And she also had an A name. So we were the same skin tone. We both had A names. So people just assumed we were the same person. And we would just laugh and joke about it because we really enjoyed working with each other and building the programs that we built. And it was one of those things where, like, as a woman of color, you always look for that moment when you can like really connect with your supervisor or your manager, because sometimes we feel like we are always trying to be validated and, you know, feel respected from our supervisor. So I was killing the game with that. It was fantastic. She received a huge promotion to a chief level from her her manager level to a chief level. And within that, she was like, can't do this without you. You're coming with me. I'm going to make you a director. And I'm like, cool. Awesome. I was also finishing my doctorate at the time. And it was aligned with workforce development and totally in my wheelhouse. So I was instructed to find the seed funding for that, wrote a couple grants, helping develop the structure and so forth. Once I was awarded the two grants that I was asked to apply for, I was told by my supervisor, just kidding, actually go back to your old job, also never going to pay you for the work that you did, and I'm just going to disappear and go on maternity leave and never tell anyone that you aren't in this role anymore, and yeah, you'll figure it out.
What?
Oh yeah. So then as a result, I was in a really uncomfortable place because I enjoyed the work that I was doing, but I wasn't going to get paid for it. And then the person who I valued and built things with and had such a great relationship with betrayed me. Right. And then this person who betrayed me wasn't a white man or a white woman, which I was used to. Mm. It was a woman of color. And my body was like, boop, boop, I don't know how to process this. What is, you know, what are these feelings? Right? Right. And so I had to come to work every day feeling defeated, feeling devalued, feeling just, I didn't have any more excitement for the work that I used to have. And so that was hard. And then on top of it, I had to tell people no. And I had to tell people no because I wasn't getting paid for the work. So why would I be on that committee or go to this meeting or go to this after hours event? Because I wasn't getting paid for it. So it was a weird time where I had to figure out how to put myself first and learn how to be selfish in a good way, focus on finishing school. And as I kind of just finished school and like just went through the motions, my outfits were not fabulous. And I love to dress up all the time. And I'm like going to work and not even looking really my best or cute. I'm just going through the motions, showing up when I show up, you know, just not engaged in the work anymore. Once I graduated school, within a month, I was diagnosed with severe depression because it was the first time I was able to breathe, smell, you know, not write a paper, not write my research, not do this, and really see what was going on in my life. Mm. And so I actually saw a couple therapists and both of them were like, yeah, you have severe depression and it's because of work.
Wow.
And I was like, what do you mean it's because of work? Because I'm good at what I do, you know, but I didn't realize that being in a position where I felt devalued for so long that it affected my life. Right. And so they gave me some tips and one of them was like, you should start your own business. I'm like, yeah, duh, because I'm already doing that. I need some money. Like, how are you going to help me? And now I'm giving you money. I don't know. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go to Thailand and eat, pray, love this shit. I'm just going to go and figure it out. So I went to Thailand for 2 weeks. I didn't have the money. I didn't necessarily have the vacation time, but I knew I needed to go. Mm-hmm. And so there I had my whole experience and I came back and I love your like the 7 minute convo you had about like change and choice and mm-hmm. something, right? The three C's.
Yep, the three C's. Yep.
Yeah. And I realized that I had to make a choice where I could live in a place where, again, I was an award-winning, severely depressed person. I did not want to live. I didn't necessarily know what I wanted to do, but I knew I couldn't end my life because one, I'm a twin and that would be messed up. Mm. But I knew that there was something else. Like if I made a choice to figure out how to find a little bit of happiness in every day, then I knew I could probably really drastically changed my life, right? Mm-hmm. And I did. So I eventually got another job and it was fine until I was fired for being myself. But the interesting thing there is I could have gone back into severe depression, but I took that as a sign of maybe just go into your own thing and see what you can do. And so every day now with Change Today, I am my true authentic self and I love it and people love it too. And I'm able to pay my bills and I have this company and I'm growing this business every day and it's really, really great. And so with everything I do, I incorporate self-care and mental health and wellness because all of that stuff can get to you. And so when I'm coaching individuals about how to be your best self, sometimes that means like, is this, what are your priorities? Mm-hmm. What can you do well here? Are the strengths that you want, are the values that you need in work, are they happening here? Do you get like 80, 90% of those values? Because if you don't, you're going to be an unhappy, you may not be severely depressed like me, but you will be unhappy or depressed or, you know, whatever that may be on the negative spectrum of things. So right. You can realign that so that you, you know, find your purpose. So when it comes to you with Switch, Pivot, Quit, I've been a fan for a while. Okay. I actually was going to come to, I think you were at Twitter or something in San Francisco.
Oh, Spotify.
Mm-hmm. Or Spotify. And it was a stormy, crazy, rainy day.
It was, yes.
And I live in Oakland, so I was going to come to it, but I was like, it's like straight up flooding. Like there's no way that I'm going to make it there because I would have to get on BART and I'm like, what shoe do I wear? And how do I get there? I'm probably going to get blown away to Twitter and then I had to be there at a certain time. And so
Too many factors,
but I've been a fan since then. And that was a while ago. And so what I love and admire about your work is that your message is clear, switch, pivot, or quit. And you need to find a way to figure it out. And if you can't figure it out, you know, give it a go, a good effort, then fine, go on, move on to the next thing. And there's nothing wrong with that. Right. So that's my connection to you. So
right. I love it. Thank you for sharing that for sure.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. So I tend to talk about personal development because before I entered my switch, pivot, or quit space, I didn't really think much about personal development. It wasn't on my radar or anything like that. And that's just me being honest about it. Mm-hmm. So I want to ask you, what does personal development mean to you? And what role have you seen it play, or do you think it plays, in a person's professional career?
It's, you know, living to the fullest, basically living your best life every day. And the people that I coach, they're like, well, I feel like I'm not accomplished. I didn't accomplish enough today. And I'm like, okay, cool. So tell me what you did today. Well, I did this and I did that and I did, you know, I'm like, okay, so do you not feel like, you know, feel like, so we put a lot of barriers and constraints on ourselves and what we think happiness is and what we think success should be, but we don't take the time to acknowledge what we're already doing and our own greatness that we have every day. Mm-hmm. We don't take this time to celebrate the little wins and to celebrate ourselves. So for me, personal development is really feeling comfortable with who you are and not, and being unapologetically yourself.
Right.
You know, so Beyonce reference. Right. Beachella, right? Beachella happened and she was like, hey, if you guys didn't know how black I am, I'm just going to start like in Egypt and then just take the HBCU. You're going to learn today. Also Google the Black National Anthem or Negro Spiritual, whatever you want to call it. Google it, figure it out. And thanks. Have a great day. That is an example of being unapologetically yourself and not feeling bad about that, right? So I encourage people to figure out how to unapologetically be themselves. Mm-hmm. If anyone were to go to like my website and look at my new video that I just posted, there's cuss words in it because I'm an award-winning cusser. And I'm just myself. I have like these blonde braids. I'm just doing me. My t-shirt has a message on it. And I cannot tell you how many people come up to me and they're like, I just love how you're yourself and you're just you. And I'm like, this was a journey of self-discovery. It was sponsored by severe depression. But figuring that out has made me the person I am today. So personal development ties also into your personal brand. People forget that even when you work at a company, you have a personal brand of what you're giving off and what that will bring for you. So the more you know as an individual, when you think about your personal development, who you're networking with, who you're talking to, who you're going to collaborate with, that all ties back to your brand and how you're perceived at work and those opportunities that can come towards you. But if you don't know who you are, you're going to miss some opportunities or you'll be afraid of opportunities. Or you feel that you are going to be stagnant and where you are and you're accepting where you are.
Right.
When we always have opportunities for growth, it doesn't mean you have to get this big time promotion, but opportunities for growth, meaning being at that meeting, talking to that person, going on that trip, visiting that office, collaborating with that department, right? So that's how I see the two connecting.
Nice. Now you touched on something that I want to circle back to, just the freedom that you have in yourself now. And I can really identify with that because I know even after a period of time where I had been working for myself and I was just freelancing, I still felt this sort of like this something that I was being governed by that was unspoken. And it was like, I had to live up to this certain expectation because someone's watching and you don't want to make the wrong step or the wrong move. Mm-hmm. And I know for many people of color, we struggle with what we've started calling like this code switching. Mm-hmm. And I want to find out from you, do you think that that is still as prevalent today as it was maybe, let's say, like 15 years ago? And I ask that because with all the mainstream media exposure to us as being sort of pop culture now, but they don't know that they've termed us pop culture. Like everything that we do as a community of people of color, it turns pop culture somehow. Mm-hmm. So do you think that there is still this code switching that we have to do, like we have to show up in the professional space in a different way because some people might not know how to receive us if we don't show up in a way that they can digest?
Yes, my patience for code switching is very thin and I'm cognizant. And a lot of that is because I run my own company. And so I can really be myself. So if people don't want to work with me, it's like, okay, that's fine.
Right.
You know, because I'm not going to change who I am because I am really comfortable with myself. Mm. I'm also aware that it's harder to do in certain industries for certain people. So for instance, If you're a woman of color and you're in a like a brotopia, the white world and white guys all around, particularly if we think about the tech industry, it's going to be hard to kind of be yourself. It doesn't mean that's impossible. And code switching has also and will always be a form of like survival mode, right? But I'm sure when we've all had those code switching moments, we're like, oh, what did I say that? And oh, now they think this of me or, you know, whatever, because you don't feel like your true self. So what I always tell people who I talk to or either I coach is be mindful of your isms and your barriers and your stereotypes that you know people are projecting on you. So for instance, when I would interview for jobs years ago, I would never wear my hair naturally curly out. It would always be strategically tucked in a so tight low bun so they couldn't really see, you know, what was happening with my hair. And they're like, well, maybe she's mixed or she, you know, she sounds like she can speak eloquently or whatever they need to feel comfortable to hire me. I was like all about playing the game. Maybe if I put my big glasses on, they won't see that I'm so black. I don't know. But the, all these things I would think of. And then when I started working with the woman of color crime job situation, I was like, let me just, this was, I don't know, maybe 8 years ago. I was like, let me just wear my hair out in the interview one, not like interview three, like interview one.
Yeah.
And so that they can see that because my hair is part of me and who I am. And I started to do these little types of things to feel more comfortable with who I was. But with, again, the people I talk to and the people I coach, if you know your isms, barriers, stereotypes, and how your perceptions of how people perceive you, then it helps you with your responses to things, right? So if someone was like, yeah, you can work in that that neighborhood or in those projects, right? Because you're black, you can just do that. I'm saying, yeah, totally. Definitely grew up in a gated community, just not that type. It was the kind that had a lake in it. You know what I mean? And it's a joke, right? But then they're like, oh, you know what I mean? It's a different experience, right? So figuring out what your on-deck responses will be to kind of break those stereotypes. Right. Like you, I'm also perceived young all the time. And some people wouldn't know how to work with me because I was so young. So it's like, okay, well, I know that you think I probably just graduated from school, but I have my doctorate and I'm 35 and, you know, and I'll throw that out there. And I use these examples of what can you have on deck to help break the feelings of code switching that you have to do. So one, you're not tokenized. And two, that you can be more closer and truer to your authentic self and not feel like you're making these compromises because these compromises can build up and then you'll feel alone or isolated.
Right.
This is also the same for leaders too, because you'll find that leaders are code switching and they're afraid to hire women like themselves or people of color like themselves because they don't want to be stereotyped as the person who always hires the others, right? No one questions that with white people.
White men or white women.
No one questions that. If all your, if you have a whole bunch of, you know, white women in a department, no one's going to question that, but they will question if you have a rainbow coalition in your department. Like, oh, that's the one who hires. And that is also another form of code switching. So you'll see that they won't hire strategically so many people of color because they don't want to be earmarked as that person who only hires people of color. Right? And so that also comes back to your personal brand, being true, your authentic self and what you want to do. Because if we really want to change what happens in the workplace so we don't feel like we have to code switch, then people in power have to make sure they're bringing in more people of color, supporting people of color. Because it's easy to bring in people of color, but you have to support and retain them in order to really change the way that things are done.
Well, you just broke that all the way down. Thank you. I love that. I love it. And it also made me think of this episode that I was listening to of the Startup Podcast, where the founder of Gimlet Media and the host of the show or co-host, founder of the show, he was talking to his employees that were people of color. And there was a Indian woman, a Asian woman. He didn't say specifically, and then a black woman. And he wanted to know about all of their experiences, specifically within the company. And I thought that that was a powerful episode because he recorded the conversations that he was having with them. And the one that really stuck out to me was the conversation with the black woman because she was saying how she had just started, and there was this employee match program that had been instituted where you sort of like get a mentor. So if mm-hmm. there's certain things that you don't know about the company, maybe it's protocols, procedures, how to book travel, anything, you can go to that mentor and ask these simple questions. Mm-hmm. And it's also developing a relationship with somebody else within the company. Great idea, right? Mm-hmm. But she said, I realized like I didn't get a mentor. I forgot what they called it, but it was basically like a mentor. She's like, yeah, at a certain point, I realized I didn't get a mentor. And she was like, I didn't know if that was like a thing or if it was just, it simply got overlooked, but it seemed that everybody else had a mentor. So she was like, I didn't know what to do with that. And she's like, and she kept saying, this is really uncomfortable talking to you about this because he's the head of the company at this point. Mm-hmm. So now you're sort of airing your grievances or showing how you really feel about maybe being overlooked with someone who has the power to change things. Mm-hmm. And that, when you mentioned, you know, having those conversations, it made me think of that because I'm like, yeah, if people in power aren't having these conversations or they're not aware of the potential plight issues, whatever, it make conversations around being a person of color working within their company, then we can't really have change. Mm-mm. You know, it's really hard for that to actually take place. So if somebody is feeling like super unmotivated and they're just like, I'm feeling like this job is no longer serving me. Mm-hmm. Do you have any tips for them to sort of, I want to say stay motivated, but just any tips in general, because maybe you don't want to tell them to stay motivated. Maybe you want to tell them something different. I don't know.
That's a great question. I always encourage people to do a love-hate list. It's super simple. There's one on my website, but you don't need to go there. You take a piece of paper. On one side, you write down the things you love about your field, your profession, your current job. And then you write down the things you hate about your field, position, current job. And just by doing that simple activity, you can see where you need to be and the skill sets or the values or the traits that you would want in your next job opportunity, or if you decide to go into your own business. Mm-hmm. And by doing that, it helps narrow down next steps. So like for me, I love coaching, and I've always loved coaching the work that I did. I love to coach my employees and my team and figure out how they could be their best selves. So I knew I always wanted to, at some point, consult and be able to coach. On the hate side, I do not like providing customer service. I don't care about helping anyone find anything. I don't, and it's mainly because I worked in women's shoes for so long. Like I just cannot, I can't do that. I had one job where like I was doing some training work and I had nothing to do with the actual training space. But if the assistant, like receptionist wasn't there, people felt like they could knock on my door and I could solve their projector problems. I'm like, no, that's not my job. And so everything I do, I just make sure I have the things that I like to do. I'm right. not like crazy excited about data, but for me as a leader, what that means is that I have people on my team that love data. And I, you know, they can do all the stuff I don't like to do and I can help them with the stuff they don't like to do. And usually with data folks, it's they don't want to present it, but I'm happy to present it, you know, and finding ways to do that. So for people who are in that place and they're like, oh, I just don't know, that's the place I always suggest starting. And that will help figure out the next steps. And again, next steps doesn't necessarily mean you have to leave the company. The next step could be working in a different department, different supervisor, particularly with a lot of millennials, they're working in places that have offices in different cities and even different countries. So transferring to a different location and getting that experience, or, you know, leaving the company that they're with and going somewhere externally. And by figuring out how to get out or move on to the next step, that means having an elevator pitch ready, networking, thinking about your advisory squad, like who's supporting you to this next phase. Do you have and your advisory squad consists of your mentors, advisors, and sponsors. So mentors are pretty much self-explanatory. People are going to cheer you on and they may have been in your situation or in that role. And then your advisor is someone who is similar to a mentor, but they have more power. So they could potentially introduce you to someone and give you higher level advice. You may not talk to them all the time. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, your sponsor is like this person who you happen to meet at the conference that just really liked you, and they like run an organization, and they're going to say like, hey, you can go meet with that company person because I know the higher ups over there. And then, you know, they may introduce you to a career path you didn't know you would have, or that job that you've always looked for. They have like this, the highest power. And so by having an advisory squad with one or two or more people, either internally or externally, whether within your company or outside of your company or within your company and a passion project, whatever it may be, that helps you look for opportunities that you didn't know that were there. And then you have people who are supporting you after you determine what's on your love-hate list and where you want to go next. Mm-hmm. GTFO, hashtag GTFO is the most important thing, because sometimes you really just need to move on and you have to go. Like, we can't save the world. You know, we can't try, we can't do this and that. Sometimes people are unresponsive to change.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And it goes back to what you said in your other podcast. Like, you have to make a choice of what you want to do. You can sit there and fight those battles, but I guarantee you it'll lead to negativity or depression or sadness, frustration that you'll bring into your personal life. Or right. You can say like, you know what, I'm going to do something about this and find another place for me internally or externally where I can thrive, where I can feel valued. Mm-hmm. People can also write down what they need to feel valued in the workplace too, regardless of the position. And if you write those things down, that will also help you determine kind of what your next steps are too.
Right. I was going to actually ask you that as my next question, like talking about personal values and sort of how to identify those values and the role that they play in your professional life or your personal life in mm-hmm. your decisions, you know, mm-hmm. Because I've heard you mention it before. And I think that there's not a lot of emphasis on paying attention to what you value when it comes to how you want to show up in this professional world and, or even your personal life, and just sort of like how you want to marry things together. Because there, I realize, and I'm just going to say my personal story, I realize that the things that I valued about myself and that I also valued day to day, they were not in line with mm-hmm. the career that I had chosen. Mm-hmm. But I should know that. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. So did it take you some time to figure out sort of like where your personal values come in line with your professional life and sort of how you show up? And if mm-hmm. someone's thinking like, I don't know what my values are, do you have any like insight that maybe you could give them?
Yeah. So about me, the alignment thing, I think probably happened on purpose and by accident. Mm-hmm. I've always known for years, like prior to me getting my doctorate, that I wanted to have my own consulting company. I've always wanted to do that. So like, I was always strategic with where I worked. I worked, you know, for-profit, nonprofit, you know, health system, hospital, clinic, blah, blah. I was thinking about all these different places where I could say as a consultant, yeah, I've been in that space. I'm familiar right. with it. And, you know, so I always knew that. But along the way with the work that I was doing, I didn't realize how much I enjoyed building teams and supporting people and mm. looking at strategy. Because again, master's in public health, undergrad in health science, I'm going to change the world, blah, 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 community, blah, you know, but naturally people are always asking me to lead and do these things. My first like real public health job was a CDC funded grant for infant mortality. And it was like a shit ton of money. I was still in college and they hired me to run this thing. It was like hundreds and thousands of dollars on how to grant money in the community, African-American community. And I was like, I don't really know what I'm doing, but they didn't care, you know, like they didn't care. So it put me on this trajectory where I could lead at a younger age. So I realized that, oh, well, maybe I have a gift or something. I don't know. And, right. you know, and to kind of like tap into it. And then opportunities came along the way that just really aligned to workforce development and strategy and organizational development, blah, 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 all other stuff. Now, at some point between work and building teams in my personal life, people are like, are you a therapist? I'm like, no, absolutely not. No, I'm not. But you always know how to solve my problem. Or Akilah, I have a problem. Can you solve this for me? And I'm like, yeah, well, you know, okay. And then somehow I learned how to solve problems. And so probably when I was like newly diagnosed with severe depression, I had to figure out the things that I knew that I was like good at mm-hmm. in order to bring me joy. Like I went for like the low hanging fruit to bring me joy. Right. Mm-hmm. And providing advice was one of those things. So I'm like, okay, well, if I start this Change Today company, and it initially started as just organizational development, but because I was dealing with so much discrimination in the workplace, particularly after I was fired, I decided to rebrand to diversity, inclusion, and equity because I didn't want any other person to feel the way I felt in careers and or the past careers that I've had. And so when I decided to do that, I was like, well, I could tell my story mm-hmm. and that could be part of what I'm doing because the story is personal, but it's also professional too.
Right.
And the story would allow me to share what I went through and then to coach people, which people have been telling me for years that I'm good at, and to getting in line with that. And then last, my grandmother always told me, she's passed, but my grandmother's always told me that I'm like a mother hen and I always take care of people. But that she was like, you know, you're just going to have some special powers and just don't fight them. And I was like, Grandma, what are you talking about? She's like, you'll figure it out. The older you get, just don't fight them. And I said, okay. And the older I got, the more I realized that I have this gift of working with people and connecting with people. I'm a people reader. Mm. So it's really easy for me to read people. And how can I tap into that gift and help people be their best selves? And so all of that hasn't really been fully, I mean, I'm fully living in it now, but that just happened, you know, about a year and a half ago.
So it
totally took time. And even coming out of depression, you know, severe depression, it took time, but I told myself to, like I said earlier, celebrate the little wins. Mm-hmm. And the more I started to celebrate that, people started to celebrate me more. And I knew I was more aligned to my purpose and I was living in my truth every day. Mm-hmm. Which is really great and amazing. So all of that is, you know, what I use in my work, particularly around coaching and the speaking engagements and talks that I have. So people can realize that they have that within themselves too, and they can do it in whatever capacity they want to do it. I'm not someone who's like, you have to go start your own business because this shit is hard. So don't, but be your best self in a 9-to-5, you know, in that role, be in that role that you want to be. It can mean that you are a data analyst, but you really want to be a painter, find a way to make that happen. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And bring it into your life, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a journey and it takes time, but celebrate what you're doing, connect back to little things, listen to what other people are observing about you or saying about you and bringing to you, connect that back to your advisory squad too. Right. And so that you can move on to wherever you feel you need to be so your purpose, passion, and truth are all aligned.
Mm-hmm. I love that. What's been the most useful piece of advice that you've received in your life or career thus far?
Probably my grandma's advice that I just shared. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad she gave me the heads up about that. which I really appreciate it. And because of that, I am fearless. Mm-hmm. And it sounds very odd and weird, but because she knew it was going to be something that would be weird, that I wouldn't know why I would know how to do certain things. Mm-hmm. I was never afraid of that. And I'm not afraid of doing things that aren't normal and that are what would be considered uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Right. So like people who have, you know, like have dealt with depression, some people don't make it out, you mm-hmm. know, and I wasn't afraid to fight it because it really is a fight. You have to make a choice because your brain's like, no, not today. You are not even going to look cute or get out of bed. I also don't want you to eat and you probably should just cry all day. But I had to say like, no, I don't want to cry all day. Maybe we'll just cry a little bit, you know, and see what I could do and, you know, find a way to kind of like fight and be fearless. If I wasn't fearless, I wouldn't have started my own company so soon. Mm-hmm. I was tired after school. I wanted to chill. I wanted to, you know, make money, have, you know, vacation time that's paid for and just enjoy life. Happy hour again, you know, maybe date and do those fun things. But there was another plan for me where I'm, you know, had to continually make sacrifices to get to the point where I am today to start my business. But I wasn't afraid of it. I was like, let me just eat on my pantry or let me ask for, grocery gift cards for my birthday and like, you know, live off of that until I could make money. But I decided to, I mean, it's a true story. Like
that is so strategic.
Yeah. Well, Virgo forever, but, you know, to figure out like, how can I do this? Like if I took a chance on myself, what's the biggest thing that could happen? I could fail, mm-hmm. but I don't like saying trying, but I did it. I could always say that I did it. Yeah. You know, and because of that, no matter what happens in life, I will always have this moment. Who knows? I could go back to 9 to 5. I highly doubt it because I'm the best boss I've ever had.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, I'm not afraid of things. So I would just tell, like, if I had to give advice to people, it's like, you just have to work through the fear and you will be absolutely fine.
Mm-hmm. And I've heard you say, you know, don't be afraid of changing your mind as well. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a bit more about that and why you feel it's important to share that type of statement with people and with audiences that you speak to?
Absolutely. So I, at 9 years old, knew I wanted to be a pediatrician. Mm-hmm. And then my twin sister wanted to be an architect. So my sister's an architect and she's amazing and a VP and I love her. But I went into college and I was pre-med. And so I took this class. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's called chemistry and it's straight up the devil. And I did not do well at chemistry at all. And I was like, oh God, this is really hard. And then that also coincided with the major I did choose was health science. And I took like my health science 101 class and learned about this thing called public health. And I was like, huh, so maybe I should get on the administrative side of things. So that was like my first pivot, right? Because I knew for so long, like I'm a child of immigrants. So like my freshman year of high school, my dad's like, you have to start, you know, practicing for your MCATs. I'm like, I'm pretty sure I have time for that. Like, I don't think I need to do that right away. And so it was really hard in particular for me to tell my father that I was not going to be a doctor because again, as an immigrant, you are only a doctor or an engineer, you know, like you're just, or finance, like you're just nothing else or lawyer,
right? Nothing else.
Mm-hmm. Nothing else. And he was a lawyer already, you know, wasn't going to be a lawyer. So that was, you know, sad and pressing for him. So, but I had to make that decision and I was, I don't know, like 18, 19 when I made that decision. And so from there, I really got into like health administration and I just knew I was going to be a hospital administrator or an administrator of a health system and I was going to change the world. It was going to be fine. And so as I got more into that, I realized that I would need to have a master's in public health in order to be an administrator. So I decided to do that. And I was like, I'm never going back to school. I hate school. School's not where I shine at all. Mm. Haha. I won. I'm done living my best life. 2 years later, I'm like, I probably should get a doctorate maybe, or maybe I should go back to med school or, you know, and go to med school. And so then I decided to like shadow some med classes. And I realized I was like, wait a minute. You want me to be here early and I can't even look cute and you guys are wearing Crocs. Like, I don't know if I can do this. Like, you know, and then I also got back to like, oh, that like, you know, you'd have a pager and be on call and then the insurance company and you couldn't be yourself and you're limited. And I really want to be a mom and I'm not a mom, but I was thinking I wanted to be a mom at the time and like supportive for my kids. So I decided to get my non-clinical doctorate. So I was like, haha, dad, see, I'm still a doctor. Mm. Yay. Like it worked out. But even along that way, I chose, leadership and organizational behavior as my focus, but the end game was to, again, be in hospital administration and lead. Mm-hmm. But as I shared earlier, when I did my research, I realized that there wasn't a place for me to be successful as a woman of color. And I didn't want to code switch. I didn't want to compromise so much. Mm-hmm. So what could I do outside of the health space? And that's when I realized when I started working with other companies, with my consulting company, like restaurants and tech startups and stuff, I realized that there was more freedom and openness on how they wanted to build and grow. And also, as I mentioned earlier, I started managing and building these teams. I realized I really enjoyed doing that. And so because of all of that, that's where I am now, where it's like organizational development, diversity, inclusion, and equity. But if I wasn't open to these like pivots and switches that happen, I would have still been like trying to make through chemistry, you know, to be a doctor. And I most likely wouldn't have been fulfilled. Because every time I thought about being a doctor, I was like, but I want to be back in the boardroom. And so why am I going to go to school for, you know, 8 to 12 additional years when you include your fellowships and residencies and all that other stuff to come back to really inform the administrative change and the oversight and the systems of how things are done, you know? So, and yeah, so I guess that's my journey. And so now it's like, it's, I can't say weird anymore. It's great that I'm in a place where I can work with so many different individuals. Like I work with an artist. I work with a retail company. I work with a system. I work, you know, like all these different places. And the uniform thing in there is, how do we get women and people of color to be their best selves?
Mm-hmm.
you know, and I get to do it in a place that either has more resources, or they're more open to it, or I get to learn something new. And a lot of the work I do, because I'm so open to working in different places, is really reciprocal. Mm-hmm. I learn from them and they learn from me, and it's great.
Yeah. Yeah. What types of things do you do to actively expand or maybe push yourself outside of your comfort zone?
I talk about myself a lot, and I know that sounds really odd, but wherever I am, it's an opportunity to learn about what someone else is doing. So if usually any, because we're the way we operate in America, it's like, what do you do? Like, that's right. A conversation that comes up in any capacity, whether you're networking or having dinner with friends or drinks or whatever. And so I say my little blurb, but as I shared earlier, and they're like, oh, that's interesting. You should meet blah, blah, blah. Have you thought of, or actually I need someone. Would you mind talking? And that is how I'm open to these new opportunities. You know, and it's, again, because I'm fearless, I'm always open to new things. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, well, you know, I could fail at it. And I didn't say I have experience here, but you sound interested in working with me for this type of thing. So, you know, let me do it. Yeah. So there's that. But the other part is, a lot of people really undervalue their transferable skill set, right? So when I started a program for a high school after school program, and I needed to build a team to get to whatever, and then develop these programs and then bring this thing in, all of that is the same for if I was working with an artist or a company. Like, who do you want to collaborate and who do you want to bring in to have this conversation at the table? You know, like a community council is the same thing as a team for an artist or a team for an executive, you know what I mean? Like, or your advisory squad, it's all the same thing. And so I talk a lot about transferable skill set, but I also, I use my transferable skill set to kind of get to where we want to go. Right. Also my fearlessness, I'm not afraid to say anything to anyone. So I'm like, yeah, no, it's probably not a good idea. Have you thought of, you know, but, and I say everything from a place of love or just have you thought of, right. And that will stimulate a conversation, which could lead to a new client or just an enriching, exciting, fun conversation or connection, you know? So I'd say those are probably the things that I do.
Okay. Okay. Is there anything that you do in maybe like your morning or daily routine that you feel like sets you up for a successful, positive day?
I tell myself every day, get up, be amazing, go back to bed.
In that order.
It's actually on my Instagram, my personal Instagram account. It's, but it's true. It's like, how can you be your best self today? How can you live your best life? And that's what I try to do like every day. Now, I have learned that I thrive in pajamas or sweats, and I have a home office and I work from there. So it's really good and it's comfortable, you know? So that's helpful too. I've created a work environment that makes me motivated and excited, but also an opportunity for me to thrive. I take naps too. I think naps are important, you know, like, you know, trying to find ways and finding balance. I also carve out time to do things for the business, for myself, and not always, you know, working with the clients or the team of folks that I work with and contract with. So, you know, I think it's probably at those things. I always tell myself, like, you got this and you can do this and keep being amazing and all those little fun little pep talks that I do, one, because they're very true. And some people are going to listen to this and say like, oh my God, she's so cocky or whatever, but it's actually confidence because just, I don't want to remind you, if you go to the beginning of this podcast, there's a time where I didn't want to live, you know?
Right.
And so every day I celebrate that I made it and I'm doing it and I can be around for my family. I can have a family in the future. And that I get to work every day in something that I love, and I have clients that love what I do, you know, and I survived a workforce that didn't validate me and didn't value me and made me lose my identity. And I have all of that back. So yes, I'm amazing. I love myself. I give people high fives. I tell people to have a great day. I tell people on the street that their outfits are great and they're working it and whatever, because I can. And I love it.
Yeah, because that there's a freedom there because you've been to this darker place. And so now it's like, okay, I'm on the other side of that. And I appreciate being on the other side of that.
Yeah. Which is why I tell my story, because a lot of people have felt or may have felt the way I have, or have lost someone to, you know, depression in one way or another, as them not really being themselves anymore or physically not being here anymore, you know, death by suicide. Right. So it's a real thing. And so if people have ever felt a little bit of how I felt and they can see that I love myself and I'm happy with what I'm doing, that maybe they can feel that way too. So I don't care what other people think. You can think all that you want. I don't love myself the way Kanye loves myself, but I do love myself. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I'm not afraid to show it.
Conversation right now. Oh God. Yeah. So what does success mean or look like for you?
Success means that I can smile and laugh. Mm-hmm. Success also means that I can buy shoes. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Because I love them.
Good pair of shoes. Yes.
And pay my bills. But success also means like that one person who you haven't talked to in years who just posts something like, I am so proud of you. And I'm like, oh my gosh, me? Like, that's amazing. Thank you so much. Like, I love that. I think that's really, really.
That is hilarious that you say that because that definitely is a thing.
It's a thing. Right?
It's a thing.
It's a thing. And I know that I'm not at my level yet. And I'm okay with that because I'm building and I'm growing. You know, like you're all the goals too, young lady. Ayana, you are goals for sure.
Oh, thank you.
You're very welcome. And it's very true. But so when I am at the next level, I will also be very appreciative of that message. But if you want free tickets to anything, I'm going to go ahead and let you know the answer to that is no. And I'm just putting it on record now for the people who are going to ask for stuff, right? But I do find that as, you know, success. I also love like parents when they're really proud of you too, like your friend's parents. Because, you know, thank you, Facebook. I'm like, oh my gosh, thank you. Because they saw me when I was 5 or 12 or 15, you know. Yeah. And for them to say things, it's just really, really great. I love. And then success also means that my two brothers, they're 18 and 21, they say like amazing things like, oh, that was pretty cool. And I'm like, oh my God, you thought I was cool? You thought what I did was cool? You thought that article was cool?
You're like, you're impressed then. Okay, I'm impressed. Right.
And that probably brings me the most joy because, you know, I'm beginning to think I'm not cool. I mean, I feel like I'm cool, but, you know, to them, it's a whole nother world. So.
Yes.
All of that success. But for anyone, I would just say success is just finding a way to celebrate yourself and be accomplished with something or anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
would you give that same advice or say those same words if someone's looking to try and find their happy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just have to really celebrate your little wins. You know, and because what people overlook is that when you celebrate your little wins, you're building the muscle to celebrate yourself and celebrate the things around you. When we are unhappy, we're like, oh, this chick has blah, blah, blah. And then he did that, blah, blah. And then that person got married and then she's having a baby. And then that person got the promotion. Why are you concerned about them? That has nothing to do with you.
It's just like a pessimistic train.
Right, exactly.
Like negativity train, yeah.
Listen, I am single. I wish I wasn't, but that is my situation. I know at some point I will have a wonderful man who will celebrate my greatness and I'll celebrate his greatness and it will be fine. That part is outside of my control. I'm available, you know, all those things, but all that stuff is outside of my control. So if I were to sit here and be like, oh, I wish I was in a relationship and why am I not marrying and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's not going to take me anywhere. So when you celebrate the little wins, you're building the muscle to celebrate everything, the people around you and yourself. So maybe you didn't go to the gym today, but you did pack your lunch, celebrate that.
Yeah.
Or you went to the gym and maybe you didn't do cardio and weights, but you did cardio and you went, congratulations. Or you took a walk at lunch, or you started looking for another job, or you set up an informational interview with someone. Celebrate those little wins. Just celebrate them. We overlook those little things because we feel like it has to be, oh, you're on a cover of a magazine. What happened to just writing in your journal before you got on the cover of a magazine?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, what happened to doing a blog post? Nothing's stopping you from doing a blog post if you want to do that.
Right.
Or putting together an Instagram. But we feel that we have to have this, you know, the celebrity status, this outcome, the biggest job, the highest promotion, the most money, that car, this home, that thing, on that trip, those tickets for that thing. And none of that matters. If you can do it, do it. Because listen, I'm always VIP at Beyonce. And that's because I love her and I celebrate myself doing that. But you know what I mean? Like, people ask me that all the time. Like, how did you get those seats? I bought them.
I paid for it.
I paid for them. It was a financial decision my sister and I made.
Yes.
And she's a Virgo. I'm a Virgo. Our birthday's around the same time. There's usually some type of concert that's remotely near our birthday. And it's a gift.
Yes.
Exactly. You know what I mean? So
Well, thank you so much for sharing this time with us and your story with us and all of your awesome wisdom. Now, before we go, make sure that you let everybody know where they can keep up with you and find out more about you and connect with you and all that good stuff.
Yes. So you can find me on changekade.com, changekade.com, but I'm sure it'll be available on the website. You can also find me at changekade on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. I do respond to messages. You can slide in my DM anytime you want to. You know, please do, especially for the single guys out there. Promo myself. And then usually once a week I do an Ask Me segment on Instagram stories. So there's a time where anyone can ask me a question and I usually respond with a response to whatever your question may be about being a woman, person of color, workplace, whatever.
You're open. That's I love it. You guys better take advantage of that too. Thank you so much again, Dr. Akila, for spending time with us. And I'm just like really happy that we were able to have this conversation and our pre-conversation. Sorry, you guys weren't privy to that.
That was really good. But yes, I had a great time. Thank you for having me. I feel like I'm not going to celebrate a little win today. I'm going to celebrate a big win because I've been a fan of yours. So I'm super honored to be on your podcast and support another fellow boss.
Thank
you. Not a girl boss, a boss.
There you go. Yeah. I love it. Just straight up boss.
Yes.
I'll own that. I'll receive that. And I appreciate you just being supportive, listening. I always see when you engage on Instagram and everything. So I definitely know that you're there. And I am just so happy that we had a chance to connect and you had a chance to share your story.
Thank you.
Interview. So awesomeness. And as always, you guys, keep killing it.